Support for the Pitch Talks podcast come from the good beer folks at Steam Whistle, makers of Canada's premium Pilsner. Why not stop by the brewery right outside the Rogers Centre for a sample or a six-pack? Steam Whistle, do one thing really, really well. Hey everybody, it's time again for Pitch Talk. Today on the podcast, we say sayonara, Mooney. That's right, it's the end of an era in Toronto. Munenori Kawasaki is gone. But he most certainly won't be forgotten. Ever. Mooney over Toronto, today on Pitch Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Hilliard. Sure, during the Jays offseason this year, there's been a lot of talk about Bautista, Anthopoulos, Price, and Encarnacion. But let's face it, the real story has been the Jays not re-signing Munenori Kawasaki. Yeah, I said it.
Push party! Push party tonight!
Okay, I'm kind of kidding. But I'm kind of not kidding. I'd be lying to you if I said he wasn't a big reason that folks got excited again about going to Jays games a few seasons back. And other friends of mine who were just sort of casual fans, they were tuning into games just to see what he might do. Now that's got to be worth something, right? Sometimes you just have to look beyond the numbers. The people guts to be entertained, and Kawa Power was just what they wanted.
What was the key to his popularity? Was it his stretching? His moves? His interviews? His only career home run?
Believe me, anytime you have a career 234 hitter selling out of his official team jersey, you have really tapped into something.
We don't need a banana. We need a champagne.
Today on Pitch Talks, we bid a fond farewell to the man they call Mooney.
I'm excited.
Now, every time Kawasaki's name has come up on stage live at Pitch Talks, there's been a round of applause.
By Munenori Kawasaki.
Let me tell you, not too many journeyman players can have this kind of effect on fans, or teammates, or opponents. Here's David Ortiz, Big Poppy, on Kawasaki.
That's my boy. That's my boy. I've met him through Reyes, Encarnacion, and Jose. We went out for dinner after the day game in Boston, and oh my God, I had a blast. He made me laugh all night.
And Kawasaki's response?
He's big, Kawa small. He's big, Kawa small. He's big, Kawa small.
Now, what's not to love? To talk more Mooney, here's TSN Scott MacArthur,
the Toronto Star's Brendan Kennedy,
Sportsnet's Ben Nicholson-Smith, along with the Toronto Star's Richard Griffin, and the Toronto Sun's Bob Elliott, live at Pitch Talks on the man, the myth, the legend from the Far East. And putting his appeal into words isn't always easy.
I think Mooney,
he's not that complicated.
No, well, he's, I still think of that double play he turned in Tampa Bay in that extra inning game, and I was like, my God, I mean, I didn't think that guy was that good, but I guess he was in that moment. And I heard this story, Dickie told it, probably others told it too, that when they were down 2-0 to the Rangers, they got on the team bus to go to the airport to fly to Texas, and I mean, they were facing elimination in Arlington for a couple games, and there's Mooney singing on the bus and just being a complete idiot, and it loosened everybody up. But the one thing that I'll always remember was that they were in Tampa Bay in June of 13, and Mooney had been the guy that replaced Jose Reyes when Reyes rolled his ankle.
This is the first time he's being sent down?
Yeah, in Kansas City at the start of the 2013 season in that first or second week. And Kawasaki came up. And Burley had started that night in Tampa Bay against the Rays. And the Jays had then made the announcement that Kawasaki was going back because Reyes was ready to come off the disabled list. And John Gibbons, This like never happens apparently. But John Gibbons actually went into the clubhouse and told the players, like, this is how popular Kawasaki was. We have to make this move. Kawasaki's going back down. And we scrummed Mark Burley, who had started that night, and somebody asked him about Kawasaki, and Mark Burley bloody cried. Now, he wasn't, you know, the tears weren't streaming down his face, but he welled up, and he was choked up, and he said, this is one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. So there was something about Kawasaki, not just with the fan base in Toronto, but his teammates legitimately did love him.
I remember that same night, R.A. Dickey told me that, you know, he's like, the one thing I'll say is he gets more out of his abilities than any one of us, which I think was a big compliment at the time.
It's crazy. I never would have guessed it. But I think that part of it has to come down to the dancing, right? Because he was a pretty out there dancer, and not just in a way that you see some pro athletes try to dance. I mean, this guy had pretty creative, unique dance moves. And so I feel like that's part of it. And he was legitimately a really upbeat guy, as far as I can tell, and you can only tell so much, but he certainly seemed to be a truly upbeat, always positive guy. And that's not lost on fans who watch him every night. It's not lost on the players that he was alongside. I think that really everyone just liked the guy. And does that, I don't know, like, if he had been a way better hitter, he probably would have been more popular. But there's something about that grinder who's out there stretching and working hard every single day, always that positive attitude. But I don't know. There's something I'm missing there. Maybe someone else has a better explanation, because it really is one of those unexplainable things.
The Kawasaki moment I remember was during a rain delay in Chicago at
U.S. Cellular.
Yeah, U.S. Cellular. And it's a rain delay, and I think it was at the start of the 11-game winning streak. It was, and he's doing out there, Mooney's out there doing his stretching, and it's weird. He's like sucking his own toes and stuff. Stuff I can't do. But he walking off the field, and there's only about 8 fans in the stands, and one of them's a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid. And Kawasaki goes over and hands him a baseball. And the kid goes, oh, thanks. And Kawasaki backs up 3 steps and asks him to throw him the ball. And then he backs up more. And so he's playing catch with a 13-year-old in the stands. And this is in Chicago. It's not even in Toronto. And to me, that just shows how genuine he was in being just a goof. You know, I mean, just being a lovable guy that had enough talent to play Japanese professional baseball and then make it as a 25th guy on every team he played on, but just a wonderful guy to have around in the clubhouse, and his teammates realize it.
The thing I remember, his nickname in Seattle was the mascot. That's how highly they thought of him with the Mariners. But he was here a couple of weeks, and immediately everybody fell in love with him. And I remember talking to DeRosa once, and he says, he motivates us. It's beyond belief. And I said, well, what do you mean? You now speak Japanese? And he says, no. He says, but he just motivates us. He said he could be looking at us and saying, you guys are the worst players I have ever seen. But we don't know what he's saying, and we think he's complimenting us. So it works. It's amazing.
Okay, we got to take a pause for the cause here on Pitch Talks, but we'll be right back with more Kawasaki. So stick around, won't you? It's time for your weekly pitch plug. Thanks again for supporting Pitch Talks and making our next show in Toronto at the Phoenix Concert Theater completely sold out. That's right, 500 baseball fanatics and Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro all under one roof. It's gonna be awesome. There's one other Pitch Talks on the books happening April 28th in Tavistock, Ontario, so come on down. And we've got a Puck Talks in Toronto on March 23rd, Ottawa on March 24th, and Brooklyn, New York on March 28th. Finally, there's a Hoop Talks on March 9th in Toronto. For more info and tickets on these shows and all of our other world domination plans, please swing on over to homestandsports.com. Welcome back to Pitch Talks. Now, as the guy who made his own bootleg Kawasaki Fever shirts, as an aside, to see a pic of Kawasaki receiving his shirt from me on national television, go to homestandsports.com, click on Listen, and then click on Podcast. You'll find it in the Kawasaki episode. I can tell you that the fever will never truly go away. One man who was at the epicenter of this fever going viral was Sportsnet's Arash Madani. He was the dugout reporter on duty the day Mooney slapped a single up the middle to win a game against Baltimore 2 years ago. Now the post-game interview? We tracked Arash down on the phone at an undisclosed location to let him give his take on Kawasaki and to let him finish the tale.
Well, what we knew about him, Kev, was that he'd come over from the Mariners and he was a bit of a character in Seattle's dugout and the entire clubhouse when he was there. You saw a few videos. And it was a day or two after he arrived, I was talking to Mark DeRosa about him. And he said, I don't know what he's saying all the time, but he gives a lift to this ball team. I don't think anybody really saw what was coming when he first arrived. It's funny, the guys that, you know, don't really gravitate towards, you know, other players really were all in with Kawasaki. Maybe in part it's because fans felt they could relate to him. You know, he was the everyman who was just doing whatever he possibly could to be around. And also, I mean, the dude was just funny. You know, he was just hit play and go, and he'd give you some kind of goal that was hilarious. I think the reason why fans appreciated him and the players appreciated him was, one, he wasn't phony. Two, he wasn't trying to make it about himself. And three, he worked his ass off. You know, he was always the first guy out there on the field long before stretch and BP doing what he had to do. And he understood what his role kind of was on the team. Well, it was that weekend afternoon, and up until that point, I'm talking to the Orioles sideline reporter, saying, okay, well, who are you going to get from the Baltimore side? I'll get somebody else. Because the Blue Jays were trailing going into the bottom of the ninth. Mm-hmm. It was the bottom of their order that was up. This was just going to be another routine, you know, weekend afternoon that you just grab somebody from the visiting team, and away you go. And then suddenly, you know, a couple of guys get on base, and then Kawasaki kind of came up, and I'm going through my phone, getting a little bit of a bio on who I was going to speak with on the Orioles side. And then suddenly this primal roar, and then it just got louder and louder. And you saw the guys kind of start to come out of the dugout a little bit, and then pandemonium.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, left center field. Kawasaki wins it!
And, Kev, I can't tell you the feeling of dread that I had walking across from the visitor's dugout to the home dugout, thinking to myself, what the hell am I going to do now? Kawasaki don't speak English. Like, so what do you do? Here's the guy who hit the walk-off. I can't talk to him. The first thing that popped into my head was, go with DeRosa. Not only is he well-spoken, but it was just the other day that he told you he gives the lift to the team. Mark can talk about him. And so I asked the first question of DeRosa, when all of a sudden, it's Kawasaki who peeked his head from the stairs beneath the home dugout. And And DeRosa waved him over, and from there it was... And from there, we just let Ludinori take over.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Thank you very much. My name is Munenori Kawasaki. I'm from Japan. I'm a Japanese.
I can't follow that. I'm out of here. You have some notes here.
Yeah.
And what do you have written in your book so far?
Yeah. My teammates give me an opportunity, so I wanted to do something about it.
I was able to dodge out of the way. They got him with the shaving cream, and then Bautista and somebody else with the Gatorade or the Powerade bath. I distinctly remember it being blue. You know, that wraps up, and all the media had missed it because they're underneath in the press conference room waiting for John Gibbons. And I walk in, and I guess my eyes were the size of baseballs. And, you know, one of our fellow media guys, Scott MacArthur and Gregor Chisholm, kind of looked at me. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, fellas, you will not believe what just happened. So I start telling them what happened when suddenly I get swarmed by four or five Japanese media who were, you know, overhearing what I had to say. And they're like, what? What happened? What did he say? What did he do? They gave me, like, they were so excited for what had happened to Kawasaki. And then I'm on my walk home, leaving the ballpark, and I looked down, and my phone had blown up. There were so many people who had texted, and then later that night, it was all over ESPN, it was all over MLB Network. It went viral, as the kids say, and the next day I showed up to the park, and at the time, JPR and Sevilla, who wasn't pleased with any Toronto media member, said, dude, that's the best interview you've ever done. I'm not sure this franchise has ever seen anything like that before.
Okay, that's all for Pitch Talks this time. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Please head on over to the mothership, homestandsports.com/pitch, for all things Pitch Talks. There you can check out more podcasts and videos, and you can get tickets and info on all of our upcoming live shows. You can also check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where we are, all together now, Pitch Talks. Please take a second to leave some feedback or even a rating on iTunes. Every little bit helps, so thank you very much. There's a new episode every Tuesday whilst we are in season, so y'all come back now, you hear? I'm Kevin Hilliard. Good night, everybody. Kawasaki and Ortiz audio clips courtesy of Rogers Sportsnet and MLB.com. The Pitch Talks love theme by Steve Kreklo at KRECKLO on Twitter. Additional music by Todor Kobakov at KOBOKOV on Twitter. And Kevin McLeod at incomptech.com. incomptech.com. Pitch Talks is a Homestand Sports production.